It's time to do today preaching for you guys. So I'm a little bit nervous, but right before the worship, some of you prayed for me. So I believe it's really helpful for me. So thank you for those who praying for me for this. Okay. All right. It has been a month since our brother Don left from us. He always kindly approached me and greeted me first. And I remember he always gave me a greeting kindly every Sunday morning. So when I greeted him, when I said, "Hi, hello, and how are you?" He always answered me like this way, I'm here, right? So I miss him, and sometimes remember what he said, I'm here. But now, he's not here. So, you know, I think I will not be here someday, too. So I think about this a lot lately. So time is so fast. Time is so fast. And I'm getting old too fast. So, you know, the life given to us on earth is only once, nobody twice, right? So how will you live our life? So that is why we need God's wisdom to live the life well. So I just coming up, it's coming up to your mind, Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Amen. So, well, despite drinking the exact same water, the cow not only feeds its young with its water, but also produces milk that helps humans, but the snake makes poison that harms others. There's one more saying. Have you heard the saying this? From the same flower, the bee extracts the honey and the wasp gel. We can easily understand what it means, right? So for example, with the same object of the knife, a chef serves delicious food, a doctor operates on a patient, and a killer kills a person. Obviously, the tools they use are the exact same knife. But depending on who uses it or how it is handled, someone offers a delicious dish, who saves people and who kills people. So God made us to be ruler over the earth, and God calls us to care for and order to his creatures. God puts us into his garden, right? So in order to do this work well, we need definitely God's wisdom, his wisdom. The wisdom involves everything about living life. The book of Proverbs gives us the wisdom to live out properly and the way we should go in the chaos of life. And it definitely benefits us and enriches our lives, right? But if you don't listen to what it says, the treasured wisdom is not yours. We need to listen to the voice of wisdom. It reminds me of the roundabout Curtis mentioned during the sermon a few weeks ago. Do you remember? Roundabout, yeah. The roundabout may seem a bit uncomfortable, But it's actually a more effective way to reduce the injury accident than a protected intersection. But the important thing is that if you don't apply it, there is no effectiveness at all. In fact, we could be easily tamed with stereotypes or something familiar. So we often experience uncomfortable feelings when listening to someone's advice or discipline, despite what is good for us. So when we encounter the truth, sometimes it happens in us that it conflicts with our thoughts and experiences, stereotypes, and so on. So we often feel uncomfortable. So when we read the book of Proverbs, sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. Why? Why? I think the word Proverbs translated in Korean expresses this meaning very well. So I want to introduce the meaning of translated in Korean. So Proverbs is 자문 in Korean. Can you say it together? 자문? 자문, yeah. 자문, two syllables. It's formed by a combination of two Chinese words. So first, 잠. 잠 means needle, to stab with a needle, to guard, to teach by admonishing, and so on, like that. And even this single letter 잠 is also a combination of multiple meanings. And on means just words. So 잠언 means the words for teaching by admonition. And also 잠언 means the words stabbing and piercing, and the words guarding. So I think it's properly translated. So let's look at the Hebrew chapter 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of heart." So I would like God's word to pierce your spirit and soul and your heart, to discern your thoughts and intentions today. Okay, think about it. How come Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs? So First Kings chapter 4:29 says, "God gave Solomon wisdom and very great understanding, insight as long as the seashore itself." So I'd like to point out the word "very great understanding." Very great understanding. God gives him not only wisdom, but also very great understanding. In other translations, breadth of mind. As Korean translation says, like broad heart, broad mind. This is a heart that can be embraced everything and accepting. I'm pretty sure this is what made Solomon the greatest wise man in the world, right? So God gives us wisdom abundantly. But the point is that you have to accept God's wisdom wholeheartedly. So it requires absolutely the help of the Holy Spirit, but requires your will and effort as well. Open your heart and receive the wisdom of God. Amen? So look at the chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." So we are going to turn to chapter 10. Now we are turning to chapter 10. So Proverbs chapter 10. In this chapter of Proverbs, we are going to be kind of a beginning of new section of the book of Proverbs, because in a sense, the first nine chapters kind of almost serve as an instruction. We come now to the main section of the Proverbs. We find here no lengthy discourses such as we encountered in the first nine chapters. So here begins individual proverbs or aphorisms, which are composed of more than hundreds of aphoristic two-line couplets. Proverbs chapter 10 and proverbs that follow are a contrast between the righteous and the wicked, between the wise and the foolish, and two aspects are contrasted one after the other. This is one of the most significant features in this section. So let's look at verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon. Verse 1 begins with saying, the Proverbs of Solomon. This is Solomon's aphorism. The aphorism is an observation of life based on experience. In other words, aphorism contains the reflections of life that the author experienced and observed. So, when you look at aphorisms, you can see who said it. So, the influence of aphorism depends on who the author is. So we know who Solomon is. And we know where the wisdom he received comes from. The book of Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon is a book of observation. Observations made by a very wise man, in fact, the wisest man ever to live on the earth. Solomon was given wisdom from God, right? He looked at life and he made observations in the book of Proverbs, and the wisdom definitely came from God. Therefore, his aphorisms are worth listening to. So, what I'm trying to accomplish through this sermon today is to illuminate and observe our lives through the wisdom, the reflection of and observation of the life that Solomon experienced. But we don't need to deal with all the themes of Proverbs. In that sense, I would like to share only a part of the themes of Proverbs. So, keep looking at verse 1. It says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. So we can see two kinds of sons, a wise son and foolish sons. Think about the son who continues to be mentioned in the first nine chapters. So I think it is very carefully placed right here, for it serves as a bridge between the first nine chapters as a prologue, which was addressed specifically to sons, and this next section of the book. So the author is saying like this way, all those forthcoming proverbs provide a way to become wise. Listen to them. Your wisdom or lack of it will lead to great joy or sorrow for those who loves you. So who loves you? Who loves you? God loves you. In fact, this significant idea flows through the entire book of Proverbs. The author continues to ask a question behind tons of proverbs contrasting. So what kind of son will you be? What kind of child will you be? So wise son or a foolish son? We really know that it affects each other in our relationships with parents and their children. We should consider it is telling about not only the biological relationship, but also a spiritual relationship. We as children of God should consider whether our life makes God glad or grieve. When you read this section of Proverbs, you can see that the author shows two kinds of life in contrast. Unlike the law telling us what we have to do and you don't have to do. So Solomon doesn't say that you must be a wise son, nor does he say that you must not be a foolish son. He doesn't say. So he just mentioned two kinds of sons he has observed in his life over the years. So Solomon simply makes an observation. He is not telling you this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. He's just saying this is what it is. So this is what I observed. So he only shows us two kinds of life. So, but we can clearly determine which life is positive and right and good. The choice remains for you and I, and it will be revealed as a positive or negative result in your future. And look at verse 2 and 3. So, treasures gained by weakness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. The two verses are in contrast made up of correlations. So treasures gained by wickedness and the craving of the wicked have the same context, and they contrast righteousness and the righteous. This is talking about money or wealth. You can find other verses about it. So chapter 10, 16 says, "The ways of the righteous lead to life, the gain of the wicked to sin." And also chapter 11, 18 says, "The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward." In chapter 10, the first point to distinguish between a wise son and a foolish son is probably about a matter of wealth. The treasure of the wicked, treasures gained by weakness, means ill-gotten treasures. So first, the treasure of the wicked can be seen as a matter of the way to gain wealth. It is, of course, wealth gained through weakness or injustice. Second, it is a matter of the way of using wealth. The wealth of the wicked brings forth sins and death, and the wealth of the righteous brings forth life. The simple point is how to make money and how to use it. The feature that distinguishes the foolish and the wise, the righteous and the wicked, often depends on the matter of dealing with wealth or money. So money is actually not evil, right? Money is value neutral. But when money is in someone's hands, it gets power. That power sometimes leads people to evil or righteousness, depending on how it is handled. So the reformation of Martin Luther was largely due to the necessity of reform due to the falling the medieval church. But one of the decisive reasons triggered the reform was the sale of indulgence. Indulgence is a kind of a form of pardon held by the Pope. Above all, the Pope had no authority to pardon sin. Nevertheless, the Pope sold indulgence in large quantities to cover the cost of building the Roman cathedral. We have learned enough through the history of the church. If you rely on money, you will be a slave to money. There is no exception to the church as well. The significant reason for the falling church is mostly a matter of dealing with power and money. As a Christian, the biblical attitude toward dealing with wealth and money is absolutely stewardship. Don't forget it. The wealth you own has been entrusted to you by God for a while. Now I'd like to share the heartwarming story my family experienced a few months ago. My family was in a difficult financial situation at the time. We couldn't ask anyone for help. We just prayed to God. Actually, there's nothing I can do. Then, one day, I got a message from my house landlord. The message was that one family in our church paid my next month's rent. And they wanted to do it anonymously. At the time, the message made me feel as if I was seeing a clear way in a hazy fog. And I have learned again that in every situation, God's hand is always with me. So I still don't know who they are. And they may be here today, one of you guys. So I'd like to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to them. In fact, this is not only one that I have experienced in my life. Since I graduated from university and devoted to being a full-time minister, I have experienced with many of God's interventions. God has guided and protected my life and provided my needs every moment. I still believe God's hand is always with me. This is one of what I have experienced and observed God's hand in my life. Look at verse 3. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry. The theme of wealth is one of the significant topics in the book of Proverbs. So one more proverb, chapter 11:28. It says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Money. You know, Jesus called mammon in Matthew chapter 6:24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. He said, God and mammon. Mammon means material wealth and greed. In the New Testament, mammon is word that often personifies money. So the reason why money is called mammon is because it seems as if money has comparable power to God. In fact, we know the power of money is huge, right? So human is fundamentally evil, weak, imperfect. So human is constantly filled with cravings for perfection. People sometimes try to fill this empty space with money and material things. Sometimes they try to fill their satisfaction through physical pleasure or temperance. When we are totally dependent on something or someone, we will be subordinate to it. In other words, we become slaves to them. When we depend on the things of the world, we become slaves to the world. When you depend on God, we become slaves to God. You will be a servant of God. We need wisdom about how to treat and deal with a wealth given to us. You know, Solomon was the richest man on earth. Then he confessed in Ecclesiastes, so like this, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Yes, everything is meaningless without God. There's nothing in this world comparable to God. You believe that? Man. So Proverbs continues to show us the reflections and observations of life. And it contrasts two distinct lives, the righteous and the wicked, justice, injustice, a wise son and foolish son. After all, we are at the crossroads of choice. We remember the most righteous, perfect, and the wisest son who ever lived. His decisions were always right, perfect, and good. We remember the son who is Jesus. He was a wise son and always chose the will of God. He always made God the Father be glad. Even when he was being crucified, he chose God's will. Although he was indeed the Son of God and had enough power to destroy those who yield to crucify him at once, he silently chose the path of the death like a lamb led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shears. It was wisest, greatest, and beautiful choice. When you go back to your busy week, I want you to think about what I said today. You may have two options every single moment: to be wise or foolish, to be righteous or wicked. Which path are you going to choose? You will be at the crossroad of choice in every moment of your life. At that moment, seek the wisdom of God and choose one of them wisely. The book of Proverbs allows us to discover the abundant wisdom of God to live well in this world, to care well in this world. But again, the book of Proverbs is a book of observations that specific wise men experienced and observed in their lives. So that means you can make your own Proverbs by your experiences with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us to your kingdom and your garden. We confess that we always need your wisdom. Because our natural tendency is always to be far from you. Bring us to you, Lord. Cross you, Lord. We believe the wisdom always comes from you, Lord. Help us make the right and wise decision in every single moment in our life. We pray that all of us would choose the path of wisdom, right decision, and following your will, Lord. Help us to become more like you. We love you. We praise you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.